Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, well, right from the mouth of St. Paul, we are supposed to think about these things, especially in today's world. But we kind of think you should talk about them, too. At least that's what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, you can call me Catholic. Now, you know I'm never alone in my studio. I am joined first and foremost by my engineer and chief fact checker, Jimmy G. How you doing, Jimmy G? You shrugged when I said that.
You said light and lively. Let's do something heavy.
No, that's a lot of other EWTN programs. They do it much better than I do.
All right.
Yeah, no, we keep it light. It ain't heavy here. It ain't heavy. It's my brother.
That would be a good song.
Anyway. Well, let's work on that. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the beautiful, fantastic Tower of Hope on the fabulous Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are the Diocese of Orange, proudly collaborating with EWTN to bring you our broadcast. So also, I want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to watch us, I mean, maybe you don't, but there's a lot of things going on in our studio.
Please
that you can't
watch us.
You know, radio isn't really intended to be watched. It's supposed to be heard. That's what we do. We put our voices out there. But if you want to watch us, you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/callmecatholic. And Matt, our marvelous call screener, will put up a link and you can just click that link on and it will take you right to the diocese webpage where you can click another link on and watch our show.
It really, really is.
And
nice.
I'm waving to you right now. See, we've got cameras in the studio.
We got nice cameras. And the cool thing is none of them are pointed at me. So that's
the back of your head. Well, turn around and wave to them, Jimmy G. There, there's the famous wave. Hey, so Jimmy G, do you know what Tuesday is?
Tuesday, let's see, that would be Feb 14.
Yeah, does that ring a bell? Any kind of a familiar bell in your romantic memory?
The day of candy-coated hearts and chocolates.
Well, it's called St. Valentine's
Right.
Day.
It's
the day of love. It's a day of love. And, you know, I was thinking about St. Valentine's Day as I was getting my cards together to put in the mail, and I thought, we have a lot of major fun holidays in this country that everybody kind of gets around. And most of them have an incredibly authentic Christian origin. So let's say Christmas, obvious, the birth of Christ. I know we've kind of translated it into secular fun, winter holiday, but it is the birth of Christ. I mean, that's
Amen.
What we owe that holiday to. Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, so pivotal in our faith, critical to our faith. Many people just celebrate it as a day of chicks and marshmallow bunnies and chocolate eggs, but it is the resurrection of Jesus, and we celebrate Easter. St. Patrick's Day, another great, fun holiday that people wear green and you pinch each other and you do the jig and you have a good pitcher of stout. But let's not forget that it celebrates St. Patrick, who converted the Druids back in the first century on the island of Ireland and also taught people the Holy Trinity through the use of the shamrock. So these all have incredible Christian origin. And we say thank you, Catholic faith, for giving us these great holidays. And St. Valentine's Day coming up on Tuesday is no less a Catholic Christian holiday. You know, 4th of July is not, you could make a case that the 4th of July has Christian origins. I'm not going to do it this morning, today. I'm going to stick with the real, authentic, very, very specific celebrations that started with a Christian event or a Christian person. And St. Valentine was a 3rd century Roman bishop. And the day is named after him, the Day of Romance, because he served or lived during the reign of Emperor Claudius, yet another one of those crazy Roman emperors who just had random rules. And Claudius thought that single men made the best soldiers. So he banned marriage among single men in his kingdom. And Bishop Valentine would secretly marry these young couples before the soldiers would go off to war. Well, he got in a little bit of trouble with the emperor for that, was banished to jail and doomed to execution. And there he continued converting people to Christianity and teaching them about the faith. And he also cured a young girl of blindness. She regained her sight through his miracle in jail. Hmm. And he developed a little friendship with her, and I'm sure she was quite indebted to him. And so as he was going off to his execution, he left her a little note wishing her well, and he signed it, "Love, Your Valentine." So that was the first Valentine.
Wow.
Hallmark had nothing to do with that.
Or was chocolate involved at all? Probably not.
Well, legend has it that maybe there was a little chocolate involved. But anyway, that, you know, some of these facts aren't reliably known, but that's a tradition that is firmly believed in our Catholic faith. And so when you send your Valentines, when you celebrate Valentine's Day, let's remember that we attribute that to a great Catholic martyr.
Okay. I am the chief fact checker.
Okay, so yeah. So
I'm
you can
look those up.
Back me up on that. So to celebrate St. Valentine's Day today on Call Me Catholic, we've brought in the Duke and Duchess of Catholic Romance, David Navarez, founder of CatholicSingles.com, and his wife, Trish, to talk about their very popular Catholic dating website, CatholicSingles.com. And then we're going to try and do a little matchmaking. We're bringing in a very handsome, very tall, bright young Catholic bachelor, and we're going to see if we can help him craft an authentic, persuasive profile on the CatholicSingles.com website, and then look for a match. We're going to see if we can do a little yente, you know, matchmaking here. What do you think, Jim?
It's all going to happen live on the radio.
You never know
what you're going to get each week.
And you know what? I want to tell our listeners, too, you can call in with your comments or questions. Join our conversation on Catholic romance by calling 714-282-6034. Matt, our marvelous call screener, is going to be able to put you through into our conversation immediately. Okay, so now, first we have to address the Call Me Catholic countdown of the week, which coincidentally I have chosen a Valentine's theme. So today I'm going to list my top five favorite lesser known facts about Valentine's Day. So here we go. The Call Me Catholic countdown of the week, Valentine style.
The Call Me Catholic countdown.
Well, that music kind of suits this theme. You know, when I have more serious themes, it's kind of, I feel a little silly going into it. But anyway,
here we go. It reminds me of the music from the Dating Game TV show.
Yeah, Chuck Woolery. Was that Chuck Woolery? Okay, you have to do your best Chuck Woolery then.
Jim Lang.
Oh, Jim Lang. That was it. Jim Lang. Okay. So my five favorite little known facts about Valentine's Day. So we started at the bottom, number five. So in the Middle Ages, young men and women drew names from a bowl, and this was when Valentine's Day was already in practice in the Middle Ages. So they'd put their names in a bowl, and then they'd pick out a name, and that became their Valentine for several weeks. Hmm. And they let people know that was their Valentine by pinning it onto their sleeve. And they'd walk around town with that name pinned on their sleeve, thus the expression to wear your heart on your sleeve.
Ah.
So now when you use that expression, you can also claim a little history. A little historical knowledge. Hmm. Okay. Number four, about 1 billion Valentine's Day cards are exchanged each year. That makes it the second largest seasonal card sending time of year. Isn't that amazing? And most of them go to teachers, number one. Number two, children, school children. They all exchange Valentine's
Day. I'd be curious to know, do men send more Valentines or women? Or what the percentage
is? I know that women by far, in a way, purchase more Valentine paraphernalia than men. I think men buy more candy and flowers, but women buy more cards and more accoutrements, let's say. You know, Valentine trappings for your home and for your clothing.
Interesting.
You know, and we have some right here on display.
Indeed, we do.
To sort of set the stage here. And I bought those, so I'm a woman. Okay, number three. The skull of Saint Valentine resides in a church in Rome, Santa Maria in Cosmedin. It's the skull, and it's always adorned with, not very pretty to look at, but it is nevertheless a very precious relic. And his remains were found nearby there in Rome, and so they enshrined it, and there's always fresh flowers adorning his skull. St. Valentine, you can find him in Rome.
I knew that. Actually, I didn't.
Well, you're my chief fact checker. You should actually affirm that that's true. Okay, number two, many believe the X symbol became synonymous with the kiss. You know, you have X's and O's, kisses and hugs. And once again, in medieval times. So when people couldn't write their names, they signed them with an X. Hmm. People that were illiterate or couldn't write, they'd sign it with an X. And then they would kiss it, kiss the X to show their sincerity and authenticity. Okay. That's how the kiss became an X. Okay, my number one fact that you might know about Valentine's Day is every Valentine's Day, every February 14th, the Italian city of Verona, where Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet lived, receives about 1,000 letters addressed to Juliet.
Wow.
It's kind of sad.
Huh.
He was writing to Juliet. She dead, you know. But, I mean, their story was a beautiful love story, but it came to a tragic end. And so I don't know if you want to be the one who faked your death or the one who took their own death because their lover had died.
It's kind of like all those letters that they send to the North Pole for Santa.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, I don't know who answers. I do think that Santa returns his letters, but I don't know. I don't think Juliet does. Pretty sure she doesn't. Okay, there you have it. My top five lesser known facts about St. Valentine's Day coming up on Tuesday. Mark your calendars. You don't want to forget your loved ones on this very important day. Coming up in just a minute is a conversation with everybody's favorite Catholic matchmakers, David and Trish Navarez. David, of course, founded CatholicSingles.com, the preeminent online Catholic dating site. And we're going to talk about how to find love and friendship through online resources, Catholic style. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. It's Valentine's. Give us a little love. Give us a like, okay? So stay with us for our special Valentine's Day edition of Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello and welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am your host, Peggy Normandin. And love is in the air today. Can you feel it as we approach one of the most popular and celebrated holidays on the calendar, St. Valentine's Day? It's about friendship and romance, but let's not forget it is the feast day of a Catholic martyr, St. Valentine, the patron saint of engaged couples, happy marriages, beekeeping, and oddly enough, epilepsy. This is a very busy saint up in heaven. He's got all the fields covered.
And beekeeping.
Okay, but mostly we think, beekeeping. Well, you know, birds and bees.
Who knew?
Birds and bees. But mostly when we think of St. Valentine's Day, we think of love. And nobody knows the business of love better than David and Trish Navarez. David is the founder. I'm sorry to laugh, but Jim just went, his shoulders went up like, whoa, nobody knows more about love than David and Trish.
Well, I've known Dave for a long time.
David is the founder of CatholicSingles.com, the first internet meeting place for Catholic singles of all ages. Dave and Trish, welcome back to Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Thanks for having
here.
Us.
Well,
you came all the way from Las Vegas. You drove all the way in last night, and we do appreciate that.
So, oh, you're completely welcome. Trish drove all the way. So
it's so much more fun to have you in the studio.
Hey,
I just want to remind our listeners. You got a nap. Good. This is a good marriage, folks. This is a good marriage.
Exactly.
If you would like to join our conversation about Catholic dating, Catholic romance, meeting your soulmate through CatholicSingles.com or through any resource available to you, give us a call. Jump into the conversation. We'd love to hear your testimonies. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Now, let me ask you, Dave, do you find that your membership on CatholicSingles.com goes up around Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Traditionally, there's not a time where, you know, people are no more or less single, but we do see after the holidays, traditionally across the board, most dating sites report a huge bump in January in particular. So okay. January leading up to
part of a New Year's resolution kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a part of that. Yeah, it's a big part of it. And then, of course, you know, the awareness of Valentine's Day. So, yeah. You know, that all kind of collides in February.
You know, to me, the more dramatic date that represents having a date is New Year's Eve.
Well, I think that what kind of spurs the activity afterwards. Yeah. A lot of people thought about it and, you know, the holidays – really, everything just kind of comes at you at once.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, New Year's, and people start thinking about it. So as a resolution or, you know, the motivation's there.
Yeah.
So everybody, at least statistically, you see an increase in
well,
January.
Well, and I think the holidays make you aware of a sort of emotional voids in your life.
Absolutely.
You think, you know, I'm going to do something about that.
Yeah.
So Dave, you founded CatholicSingles.com back in 1997. And that was you were kind of a pioneer in this field. I know you were the very first Catholic singles dating resource
it's
online.
Been 20 years.
But at that 20 years ago, there was a little bit more of a stigma to using online resources to find a date. And people kept that identity, that part of their life, a little anonymous. It was like, yeah, I do this, but I'm not going to announce it. Now it's completely acceptable and mainstream.
Oh, yeah. And that's mostly because all the exposure we see on TV, whether it's a talk show or movies and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, in the mid-90s, early or late 90s, it was still a transition from, you know, the old personal ads in the paper and penny savers and stuff like that into the online boom that happened. So there was a little bit, but, you know, we saw Oprah come out and do shows about it and things like that. And it really blew the lid off everything.
And there's been quite a few famous people that admitted to using online resources.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart. I know Adele tried it once.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of other Halle Berry. I remember reading that Halle yeah. Berry. I don't know how celebrities do that, how they keep their profile.
Well, they don't use their real name, but yeah, I, you know.
It's weird.
I mean, I assume.
You open the door and there's Martha Stewart. You go, oh my gosh, I didn't even set my table. Now, Trish, you and David actually met on CatholicSingles.com. One of the privileges, I guess, of founding the site is getting first dibs on all the profiles of the yeah. members.
Well, I just picked her name out of a...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But, Trish, what initially drew you as a single woman to CatholicSingles.com, to an online dating resource?
Well, it was January. No.
Actually, you guys are really
consistent. It was actually... October. I think it was that I was in my 40s. I had never been married, and kind of what everybody does, you kind of think, you know, what's missing in my life, and have I taken the time to really give dating a shot? And I had friends who had success with online dating and had met some incredible people, and I thought, you know what? Let me give this a shot. Maybe I'll meet a new friend.
And it yielded a husband, actually.
Yes, it did.
how many years have you guys been married? And you are a happily married couple.
No, we are.
It depends on who you ask.
David, what's more with feeling, please?
That was a long car ride. No,
it's going to be a lot longer going
home.
Five and a half.
She's going to fly.
It'll be six in July.
Okay,
coming up on six years this year.
Well, that's cool.
I know.
Is there an age that is more that online dating resonates with more than others? I mean, it used to be maybe more mature aged people, and then now I see it's coming down younger and younger, and you think younger people, oh, why do you need that? You can just go out and meet them, but it's a challenge.
Well, I traditionally, again, I think the largest segment are the folks that just got out of college. Because again,
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, initially, because the dating pool all of a sudden dries up, and they realize that, you know, it's not as easy as it was, you know, even a few months earlier when they were in school. But the ages just really are, again, anywhere, I think, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s are probably more long-term active members than the people in the 20s. We see a lot of you're saying younger people getting attracted to it. I think it's because there's a lot of hype about things, you know, with swiping
technology,
and stuff like in the technology and things like that.
So it's going to fold into that aspect of their life very comfortably.
Yeah. It just, and all the social media, Facebook and everything, you know, it sort of morphs into one thing or another. So, yeah, you get younger people that are more exposed, and they're using technology at a younger age. So as they're getting older and getting into that dating age now, it's a second nature.
Yeah.
I think they're very comfortable in that environment.
Right.
They
yeah.
grew up in it. It's just –
There's no stigma involved with this.
Yeah. No, not at all. We're talking with David Navarez, founder of CatholicSingles.com, and his wife, Trish, and it seems like a perfect couple of guests to have for our Valentine's Day show. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, our number is 714-282-6034, 714-282-6034. Let us know what you feel about online dating, if you've had any luck with it, young Catholics out there. Hey, so you have had a lot of success stories come out of your website. In fact, I downloaded or I copied this really sweet testimonial that one of your people wrote down, and I'd love to share it. Could I do that?
Yeah, sure.
So, okay, it says, "Dear CatholicSingles.com, Mike and I met on Catholic Singles in January 2012, and a nuptial mass was celebrated on October, on our nuptial mass, I think it should say, was celebrated on October 5th, 2014. 2 years, that's pretty good. We are so grateful to God through your website we found each other. We want to thank you by sharing our story and hopefully inspiring others." And then they give this cute thing of how they met. So the guy gives his version and the girl gives her version. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but what was really cute is they both were hesitant. They'd made the connection online, and they thought, hey, I'm going to wait a couple of months. Let's talk online. And they both went into their first encounter very skeptical.
Sure.
You know, his version says the same thing as her version. But then they ended up spending the whole day together. And do you remember this?
Yes, I know this one. This was the New York couple. One was upstate and one was down the city. Yeah, I do remember
that. And that's exactly the way you kind of do want to approach these things. You want to be, as far as like safety factors go and – expectations, you want to have a little bit, you know, going on before you meet somebody in person.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, be aware. I mean, you never know. The date might turn out bad. It might turn out great.
Well, they said they both had their exit clause, you know, like their plan B in place. You know, how I can make a quick exit.
I just thought of a phrase. Do you guys have extreme vetting?
Extreme.
Did you just make that up right now, Jimmy G?
It came to me.
Haven't heard that at all recently.
I think the first date would be to go to Mass and make sure everybody knows how to bless
themselves. Well, I used to always tell people, you know, have a coffee date or a drink date, yeah. you know, like skip, put an hour aside. That way, you know, if it doesn't work out, you're not too invested. If it works out, great, then you can set up a date later, you know.
Well, and you both have this commonality in the faith. You're both mm-hmm. interested in meeting people that are Catholic. So if nothing else, you can just, you know, get back to, hey, do you know what feast day it is? And, you know,
well, no,
what parish did you grow up in?
Yeah, what draws you together is the common, the faith in common. And that's a huge part of why people join our site over something else. And, yeah, and you may end up with a friend. You never know. I mean, part of our philosophy is that it's for faith, friendship, and love. Mm-hmm. And if something comes out of it that's leading to marriage and that's where you're called, that's, in my opinion, the goal. But it's sort of icing on the cake, too, because you can meet a lot of great people that may turn you onto a friend that's single
yes.
or, you know, the community, your dating pool may widen.
It's just a network.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I would love to get your take on whether you can see things that are going to click with people, whether, like, to use the expression, do opposites actually attract? Because you have now case studies that you can see,
sure.
success stories,
yeah.
where they worked. Is it important to have things in common, or is it true that sometimes when you have differing interests, it makes for a more exciting, more interesting relationship?
Well, you have to have things in common. I mean, absolutely.
Like faith, for one thing, I guess.
Well,
this is what there's.
That's an anchor.
Yeah.
That's an important anchor,
Because it leads into the discussion about kids and marriage yeah. and all these other things. But, you know, there's the theory that, yeah, opposites attract. And they do to some extent, but in long term, they cause more conflict usually than, you know, a harmonious relationship. So you see, and I've worked with a really good psychologist about things like this, and she helped develop the questionnaire on the website. And that's a recurring theme, rather, that you have to have things in common more than the opposites attract theory, because that eventually will kind of fizzle and you won't have that long-term compatibility that you really need.
That's interesting. Well, I think when it comes to personalities, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one way of kind of finding a match, but also interest. Like if somebody a man might put down there, I love camping. I really hope that I can meet someone who will yeah. enjoy camping with me. And a girl might be reading that thinking, I hate camping. And yet, if she were to meet this guy and he was the right guy, it's like, boom, I'm totally into camping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of, I think you can bring interests to each other and share things.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, somebody may say, I love opera. Well, I don't know opera. I don't really like opera. But that person can enrich your life through opera.
Yeah.
And when you enjoy somebody's company, then you allow them to bring new interests into your life.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference is being opposite. Trying new things that you haven't discovered is one thing. And bringing somebody in and, wow, I've never done that. I've never been there. Wow, this is exciting. And you'll either like it or not. But if you're totally, if somebody is social and they're with somebody who never wants to have anybody over to the
yeah,
house,
yeah.
never
doesn't
you know,
like to entertain.
Yeah, I think there's
parties.
Extremes. Neat and messy, you can work with. But, you know, there's definitely extremes. And
well,
there's
a
things.
Lot of things you can overlook and
yes.
a lot of things that will enhance the relationship, and those
yeah.
can be some differences. That there's going to be some sticky points for some people, which is why people break up, and, you know,
yeah.
and maybe it doesn't turn into a marriage. But I think that's, you know, people get stuck on these lists. You know, some of these people that have been.
They have to have the checklist.
Yeah. And sometimes if the person doesn't have exactly everything, you know, 100%, they sort of kind of put them to the wayside. You know, hey, if you're at even 50 to 60% compatible, sometimes that's enough, because mm-hmm. the other 40% might be stuff you learn about and, you know, hey, I may like this, you know, I may enjoy these hobbies and things like that. And it enriches your life in the long run. So you got to be flexible a little bit, because nobody's
sure.
going to fill that list 100%. And of course, obviously, nobody's perfect.
No. Yes.
Was that?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I just bristled with that, and I'm not even married to you.
I was yeah. referring to myself,
yeah,
of course.
But you know, David, St. Peter said love covers a multitude of sins. Right,
oh, there
Trish?
You go.
Absolutely. And you know
I'd
what?
I'd like to talk to him.
To allow that person to still be interested and be able to pursue things that you may not like, and to give them the time to do that, I think is very important in
okay.
a relationship, you know.
That's good. Okay. Well, there's that whole component of, I'm going to let you guys work that out over the break. There's the whole component of building a profile, an authentic profile that really represents who you are. So when we return, we are going to meet a young Catholic bachelor who's considering enrolling in CatholicSingles.com. We'll find out why he would consider an online dating resource and help him address the challenge of crafting a profile that really represents who he really is. And we're going to talk to Dominic from Ohio. And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 714-282-6034. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
We love because he first loved us. I'm Peggy Normandin, host of Call Me Catholic, sharing words from Holy Scripture to remember as we approach St. Valentine's Day this Tuesday. It's also National Marriage Week through the 14th, so happy marriage to all the married couples out there, my husband included, and to the engaged couples out there who are looking forward to a married life together. I read that 6 million couples are likely to get engaged on Valentine's Day. Isn't that, Jimmy G? They can't hear you on the radio when you're nodding your head. And you.
I took my headphones off. So.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Sorry.
Valentine's Day.
So now, 6 million couples, maybe. Good luck to all of you. I hope you get a yes. Okay, so to celebrate this season of love, we've invited our favorite Catholic matchmakers onto the show, David and Trish Navarez. David is founder of the very popular and very first online dating website specifically for Catholics, CatholicSingles.com. Hey, David and Trish, are you ready for our first caller?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have Dominic from Ohio on the phone with us. Hey, Dominic, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hi, how are you guys today?
We're great. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share my story. I am scheduled to be engaged June 24th of 2017 this year, and I had met my fiance 2 years ago on Christian Mingle, so nothing against Catholic Singles.
No, but, it's like a shopping mall. We got to cluster all the same kind of stores together.
Yeah. Hey, that was just the avenue God wanted to use.
Sure.
But ultimately, so when I had graduated from the University of Akron in 2014, I came home back to my hometown in Louisville empty-handed. And, well, my mother, being from an Italian family, wasn't very happy with that because she was excited for grandchildren.
Yeah, Dominic, why aren't you married?
Yeah, exactly. Every day. but anyways, so I had joined a litany of dating websites, uh-huh. eHarmony, Match, OkCupid, everything. And, you know, I was going on dates, but I wasn't quite finding the individual that I was ready to settle down with and spend the rest of my life with. And then it started getting a little nerve-wracking. You know, you go mm-hmm. on so many, and you're not quite finding that person. And I'm a youth minister at my church, and I teach the high school students, too, part-time. And we did an exercise in the fall of 2014 where we had pumpkins. And I told them, we were talking about how God's fear conquers everything. And I told them, you know, write one of your fears on these little bitty pumpkins. And then we took a fudge hammer to them that said the hand of God on it. And it was a really great exercise. Yeah. And on mine, I had put, I am so worried or so afraid that I'm going to die alone or I'm going to be alone mm-hmm. for my whole life. And when that hammer hit the pumpkin, it was amazing relief. And a week to the day afterwards, I met this girl from Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Her name was Julia Minarchik. And we talked back and forth for about 3 months, emailing each other. We met. A year after that, we got engaged in my church, Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, in beautiful Louisville, Ohio. And we are scheduled to be married in a couple months.
Oh, that is a beautiful, beautiful story. Who knew you could meet your bride by smashing a pumpkin? I think that's a new
one. Right?
You just gave me goosebumps.
Tell me about it.
And
wow.
I love that you weren't in the same neighborhood. You guys were in different states.
Wow. Yeah, 2 hours apart from each other. And it was actually strange because she went to Grove City College, a very Christian school in Pennsylvania, and she student taught at a high school just over the border in Pennsylvania, 5 minutes from my house because I live on the Ohio-Pennsylvania line in Youngstown. And we were 5 minutes from each other, and I would have never met her if it wasn't for that website. And, you know, it's kind of an anything, too. She was confirmed. I was raised Catholic and very active in my church, and she was initially raised and confirmed Catholic, and then her family left the church for a while, went the non-denominational route. And then when we started dating, she started coming back to the church and exploring the faith all over again. And now we both teach high school together. We're
excited to raise
our future children together. Yeah. It's
Dominic, awesome. Congratulations. And I'm glad she said yes. I'm glad you found each other. And I'm really, really glad to know that guys like you are out there doing youth ministry for our churches and our schools. I think that's awesome. So keep up that good work. I wish you a most blessed and joyful wedding day and a very, very happy married life together. Thank you for sharing your story today on Call Me Catholic, Dominic.
Absolutely. Thank you. And God bless you guys. God bless you too.
God bless you, Dominic.
And you have lots of stories like that on CatholicSingles.com. So we've been talking, Trish and David, we've been talking about your business, CatholicSingles.com, in sort of broad strokes. But now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. How do you actually jump into this dating arena? How can a person begin to represent themselves authentically through an online profile? And to answer that question, we have invited a young Catholic bachelor, we could also say victim, into the studio. And David and Trish are going to help him author a profile that will work for him. Chuck, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you, Peggy. It's great to be here. I've listened to the show plenty of times. It's kind of fun to be at the core of it, the center of it. All these microphones and technology, it's very fun.
This is the nerve center right here. Well, Chuck, you are a fantastic sport. And I first want to, let's get a few details out about you.
Absolutely.
So you are, how old?
I am 25. I live in Seal Beach, California, just a little bit south of
here.
That's
a lovely place to live.
Lovely place, right by the beach. And I work in downtown Long Beach. I'm an accountant. I've been there for about 3 years, so it's an awesome job. I love the people there, and I love being so close to work too.
Yeah, well, work and beach. So you've got the recreation and the occupation there, working with each other. So you seem, I mean, you're a tall guy, you're a good looking guy, you've got a great personality. It seems like it would be really, really easy to meet young women. Is that a challenge?
It's a challenge. It's kind of like a, you know, balance beam, you know. Sometimes I go out to the bars or, you know, meet up with friends or, you know, do a dinner party or something like that. And there's always that cute girl there that you want to talk to, but you're really nervous about it. And then turns out, you know, she's dating someone else or
she's married.
Or she's married. Yeah. You know, I'm 25. A lot of my friends are getting married. It's like scary. It's like, whoa, I don't even have a.
Yeah. You told me you're in two weddings this year.
Yeah. Two weddings. Yeah. And I went to a wedding last, November that was, you know, close friends in high school too. And they're married already. It's crazy. So
David and Trish, I also know from having talked with Chuck before the show, we do a little extreme vetting on our show, don't we?
You better believe it.
We found out that his faith is also very important to him. He's a confirmation teacher at the local parish school where he
Shout out to St. Anne's in Seal Beach.
Oh, okay, great. You've got great confirmation teachers. So this is why he kind of thought, hey, well, maybe I should do a profile on CatholicSingles.com. So what was the first thing that happened to you when you went to the site, Chuck?
First thing that happened to me, I created a profile, and I put up some pictures. I put up one single picture of myself, a couple pictures of
me. Is that hard? Do you get people to give you advice on whether or not this picture is better? Because it's hard to judge your own good picture.
I would say that was...
Well, pictures are good. It's good that you put them up. And a lot of people that look at other profiles appreciate particularly photos of not only the headshot, which you use as a primary essentially, but of you interacting with other people or doing an activity that you like, a hobby that you're into.
Right.
I mean, that really kind of, makes it more alive and interests people. So that's good to have.
Yeah, additional pictures, a picture profile.
Yeah, so I did that. I put one photo of myself and then a few photos of me kind of with my friends. I had one of my Christmas dinner party, which was quite a hit.
Did you host the Christmas dinner party?
I did host the Christmas party.
Oh, wow. Well, that would be
something
a feature that you would
put.
I like to entertain.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Women like that.
Yeah.
And I created the profile. You know, there was a list of questions, and I felt kind of like, do I answer all the questions? But I did. I'd answered all the questions, but very briefly, kind of. Yeah. And I wanted to sound, fun and exciting, so I kind of spiced them up a little bit.
So you did the essay portion, because there's some yes and no questions or multiple choice questions, but there's also what I think is one of the most important is kind of like an essay where they're your words. So you filled that out, right?
Yeah, I did the essay portion.
Wow.
It's funny calling it an essay portion, though, because it's like, do I write an essay or do I write two sentences?
I don't want to scare anybody. It's not like a real essay, but it's in your own words.
And you can write a sentence or two about whatever the topic was.
Right.
But I think what that does is it shows other people that you're a little more serious in some cases, but they get a little bit more of a glimpse of your personality when you write. And that also goes true when you reach out and maybe email somebody or message them. They start to sense your personality and who you are by your words and the way, I mean, you know, some people say, well, you know, this guy didn't punctuate, he didn't do this, that, he's misspelling, maybe it's sloppy.
Wow.
And they kind of, you know, subliminally think, well, I don't know.
Have to have your English teacher check that essay out.
Or it's a bunch of hoity-toity words, and they're like, well, wait a minute, I don't have a PhD in that.
Or there may be that one person that gets you.
Exactly.
Hey, yeah. That's.
Well, has there ever been a feature where you could do a little video of yourself? Because sometimes when somebody animates, rather than the still picture, they become more three-dimensional to you. And you can't fake a video as easily as you can kind of Photoshop a photo to make yourself look real. I bet girls do that a lot. They really kind of Photoshop.
Well, that is easily. It's part of the reason it hasn't happened so often online is because there are some sensitive things out there that get online. And I think most sites, including ours, have sort of shied away from that because there's a lot of potential abuse with the videos.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
And so
And the technical, the speed of somebody else's computer.
Besides the sensitive, you know, the other issues that I was kind of alluding to, there are a numerous amount of different cameras and blah, 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 you know, all things. And a lot of people haven't gotten to that point yet where you just sit down and, you know, like Star Trek and say, hey, you know, computer, do this. When we get there, it'll happen, I think, you know, more fluidly.
Okay, Chuck, so what were some of the questions you went, oh, I know how to answer this. This is a great question. And what were the questions that you went, oh, I don't know how to answer this?
Well, I just wanted to touch on one thing about the essay portion is when I went through the essay portion. I put that in quotations.
Sounds like school for dating.
But, I answered, though, truthfully with a little bit of spice, like I said earlier. But then when I went to look around at the ladies' profiles, I saw some great, cute girls, but they didn't answer those questions. And it was, like, really tough to really say, oh, you know, you're really cute and you've got a great, you know, personality through your writing, or there's a lot of interests that we have in common. So it's, like, hard to, you know, make that connection. So I would encourage, if there's any cute girls out there, to really fill up their profile.
That's
so
a very
subjective
description, cute.
Well,
cute is in the eyes of the beholder.
Everyone is cute.
That kind of was sort of the point I was saying earlier, that the more you put into your profile, the more it's attractive to other people.
I see,
so if you take the time to fill out a couple of those questions, you put more photos up, and you fill out all the little, you know, you fill out the hobby section and things like that, you're going to attract more people who, A, think, you know, I like that kind of stuff. This is more compatible with what I'm looking for. And it just, your chances of getting correspondence back and forth increases. So it's really a good thing. And we do encourage everybody to do that.
Yes, and I'm an advocate for that.
All right, great.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like that's only fair. If you're going to go to the trouble to put all that information in, that somebody else should, too.
Yeah, that's why I wrote David. I mean, he thoughtfully filled it out. And he honestly didn't say that he had anything to do with the site or anything.
He borrowed all the best from all the different profiles.
But your writing was great.
Well, I was going to say, too, and to be fair, there are some other sites that have extensive profile questions that may take like a day and a half to fill, and there's some that don't have any. I think we're kind of a happy medium.
Yeah, you are a perfect balance.
Okay.
Great. Well,
we're talking with David and Trish Navarez. David founded CatholicSingles.com, that online dating site for Catholics, single Catholics. Let's make sure we make that point. Back in 1997, it's very successful, very, very popular. And we also have with us in the studio a bachelor, young, attractive bachelor, Chuck, young Catholic guy who is trying the site for the first time, kind of testing the waters. And we're sort of talking through all the different challenges and foibles of doing this kind of thing. Is there any credence to having someone else answer some of the questions for you? It's very hard to describe yourself. You know, we know ourselves, and sometimes we don't know ourselves very well. But how another person, a close friend, would perceive us might be a more accurate way to be described.
Well, you know, and Chuck, you can certainly ask some of your close friends what adjective might be great. You know, what would you say, you know?
Or just to read over your profile.
And particularly if you know any single women that are friends of yours,
yes,
I would ask them because they come up with keywords that might be, you know, more what another young lady might be looking for.
Right.
And they'll connect with that. But filling out, having it filled out by someone else is not necessarily a good thing because we've come across, you know, situations where people have asked their friends or their or the parents have done it for their kids and I didn't tell them.
Oh, gosh, that's like college essays.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, well, if the kid wasn't really interested to begin with, they're not going to be any more interested
terribly
if you're pushing
awkward.
Them too hard. You got to let them come.
You got to be honest about it. I mean,
yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
your friends are going to kind of
when you're ready,
make you look too good.
And this is, you know, and this is one avenue, you know, you shouldn't close off necessarily or put all your eggs in one basket either. I mean, a lot of times people meet people while they're doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, they might be online and you might run into somebody at church or something or vice versa, you know. So we try to like keep this, you know, open and everybody's.
How much does faith factor into the questionnaire? Is that just a given that if you're going to CatholicSingles.com, mm-hmm. you're a practicing Catholic and you want to meet another Catholic, or do they actually have questions about your faith?
Oh, yeah. There's questions about your faith. I think it's like, what does being Catholic mean to you? You know,
how often you go to church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, things like that, because it's important, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're, and we, that's why we draw in, I think, the members that we do, because being Catholic is probably in their top one or two, you know, criteria.
Right.
They want somebody, because again, you know, looking down the road, if you're serious about a long-term relationship that may lead to marriage, most of us anyway, with a Catholic background, start to think of things like, you know, where the kids are going to go to school and yeah. get baptized and, you know, my parents going to like this, you know,
yeah.
him or her and, you know, things like that. And it leads to a more harmonious relationship if you do share the same faith. Because and you hear other stories of people that marry, you know, it's interfaith or whatever, and one of the spouses end up, you know, kind of converting or
right.
yeah. And I think that's great for the family because you know you don't want necessarily. I mean, it can work, but you get
it
rid of the tension.
It was really
and
pivotal, and I can't
yeah.
say that I was sort of specifying that in my dating years that I will only marry a Catholic man. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that I did marry such a good Catholic man has been an incredible asset to our marriage and yeah. to raising our children. You just don't have to explain things. You don't have to struggle against anything. You're on the same page, and it's such an important part of our life and in the raising of our children and in the way we live out our lifestyle.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Peggy. Never said I have to.
This is
Catholic.
Dating is a building block eventually for a family, a right. Catholic family. We hope that we bring together somehow.
Poor Chuck.
So you know.
Well, I was going to say. I mean, I grew up in a beautiful Catholic family that raised me well, and I went to Catholic school and all that. So I'd want to give that to my future family.
And that's
as
your experience.
Well.
That's what you know, right? So you're going to do probably best at that. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, are we ready for another caller?
Yes.
Okay. So we have Jim from Iowa calling. How are you, Jim? Welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank you. I'm still above the roses.
Pardon me?
I'm still above the roses.
You're still above the roses?
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're in amidst the roses here. We've got roses everywhere here. It's Valentine's Day. Are you sending roses to somebody, Jim?
Great. My wife is with me no more. She was Russian Orthodox. May God keep her close.
Oh, God rest your soul, Jim. Did you have something you wanted to share with us about the world of Catholic romance?
Well, it's kind of a Catholic / Russian Orthodox romance. Okay. A particular Russian
Very
Orthodox,
intriguing.
A Russian Orthodox saint, and I'm sure Catholics would have no problem invoking her aid. The name is Saint Ksenia, Ksenia, of St. Petersburg. She was a young, loving wife to an up-and-coming military officer in the Tsar's army. He died during a Christmas party, which the Russian Orthodox consider Advent to be a second Lent. To actually be at a party was bad. To die during it was extremely sinful. So she gave her son to a family relative to raise, and she went off and spent 7 years in a monastery. We're not quite sure where or exactly who she studied with. We have some indications, but nothing certain. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, she was a fool for Christ. She only wore her late husband's army greatcoat and begged for her bread and slept in the fields and would spend the nights doing penances for her husband and for the rest of the world. We know a lot of this because since he had been an army officer, the Tsar's secret police kept an eye on what his widow was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all the written reports. She was devoted to Theotokos, God-bearer, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And when there was a church that was being built in her honor, the workers were surprised that every morning, no matter the weather, no matter what time of year it was, when they got to work, they would find the exact number of bricks they needed that day to do their work.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out
providential.
She spent the night This little old lady spends the night hauling the bricks up herself to each worker's location so that the church would be finished faster. It was finished in half the time we had planned.
And this was in St. Petersburg?
Yes.
Okay, what a beautiful story. So she became a patron for married couples then?
Because what she visited a friend, and the friend's daughter came into the room, and St. Zini got very excited. Goes, what are you doing here? Don't you know your husband waiting? Now, the daughter was not married at the time, but still, she grabbed the daughter, grabbed the mother, dragged them through the streets of St. Petersburg, up one street, down another, till they came to a cemetery. And there was a young doctor who had just buried his wife, who had just fainted. And in the Russian tradition, the mother and the daughter, they picked him up and they took him back to their house to recover. And a year later, the doctor married the daughter.
Oh, wow. Well, this is quite a story. Well, St. Cassina? St. Cassina, pray for us. And Jim, thank you for sharing your story. It sounded like you had a beautiful romance with your wife, and God rest her soul. And thanks for calling Call Me Catholic. That's a great story. We love hearing about our saints.
Thank you.
God bless you, and happy Valentine's Day, Jim. Yeah, we have lots of saints out there who are more than anxious to help us in our relationships, in our romances, in our marriages. We are going to come right back with more Call Me Catholic, especially this Valentine's Day edition. We have a very eligible Catholic bachelor in the studio with us, David and Trish Navarez with CatholicSingles.com. So you don't want to miss any of this closing segment. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Yes, I am Peggy Normandin, and today we're answering the question, what's love got to do with it, got to do with it? Well, Tina, turns out it's got everything to do with it. And today on our show, we have David Navarez, founder of CatholicSingles.com, and his wife, Trish, who met on CatholicSingles.com and have a flourishing business in the online dating service. And we also have a fine eligible bachelor, young Catholic bachelor with us today who has entered into the world of online dating, just kind of dipped his big toe in it. Hey, so Chuck, you are a single guy, you're 25 years old. You know, it's not imperative that you have a romance in your life right now. I mean, there's plenty of other ways to feel love, to extend love, to feel fulfilled.
Absolutely, yes.
That doesn't keep you from having a social life.
No, I absolutely not. I think, you know, like this Valentine's Day, I probably won't have a Valentine, unfortunately, but I can host a wonderful dinner party with some friends.
Wow.
You know, it kind of reminds me of that Julia Child movie where they had that dinner party scene and everyone had like a little heart,
big heart
on their
there.
Chest.
Yeah.
You know, do something fun and crafty like that and have some friends over and have some fun.
Well, enjoy your single days because I don't think they're going to last very long. What do you say, Trish?
I don't think they're going to last very long either. How old are you?
You're no, already spoken
I'm,
for,
I'm
Trish.
I'm spoken for. No, I'm thinking, of friends' kids.
This is like Gracie and George Burns here with us today.
No, I think that's wonderful, and that's how I always did it, too. I always went out with my friends. I waitressed for many years, too, when people came in with their Valentines. I was never disheartened. I embraced that, you know, one day that will be me, but I always kept the hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, he doesn't look discouraged at
no,
all.
No, and that's a good, healthy attitude. I mean, that's what you want. You want to keep your spirits up. You want to keep your prayer life going. And your opportunities open. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Right. Prayer life is very, very important. Pardon me?
The future is bright.
The future is outstanding.
It's
well,
amazing.
Thank you guys for joining us for this special Valentine's Day edition of Call Me Catholic with the Call Me Catholic Singles.com dating site. And Chuck, thanks for being such a good sport and
Absolutely.
Joining us today.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And I want to just close with a little bit of scripture that we all know so well. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Those are the words I wanted
Amen.
To leave you with. And you can love. Love, love. Well, mostly we want you to check out our Facebook page, though. Give us a little love on our Facebook page. And tune in again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic Valentines.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.